Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 29th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 156, the third paragraph that begins with, "But life was not easy for the two friends," and we're reading through two paragraphs ending with, "We've got them strapped down tight." We'll be reading and commenting on these two paragraphs. Today's readers are Terry H. reading the 12 steps, Rhonda R. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Dion R., Kara L., and Laura R. The share ID for Tuesday, December 28th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 18,311. That's 18311. And this morning's Wednesday, December 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 18,315, 18315. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Shelley E. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Catherine. Thank you so much for your service, especially during your electricity crisis or challenges. I'm Terry H. From Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all the persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And with that, thank you for the opportunity to serve this December. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry H. And Rhonda R., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Yes, good morning, Kathleen. Excuse me. Thank you for your service. Rhonda R., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today as part of Team Wednesday. I'll pass.
Thank you, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 156. The third paragraph that begins with, "But life was not easy for the two friends," reading through two paragraphs ending with, "We've got him strapped down tight." So good morning, Dion R. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Catherine. And good morning, everyone that's on the line. My name is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater. I'm very grateful. Excuse me. "But life was not easy for the two friends. Plenty of difficulties presented themselves. Both saw that they must keep spiritually active. One day, they called up the head nurse of a local hospital. They explained their need and inquired if she had a first-class alcoholic prospect. She replied, 'Yes, we got a corker. He's just beating up a couple of nurses, goes off his head completely when he's drinking. But he's a grand chap when he's sober. Though he's been in here 8 times in the last 6 months, excuse me, understand he was once a well-known lawyer in town. But just now, we've got him strapped down tight.'" Then Asterix says this refers to Bill and Bob's first visit to AA number three. See the Pioneer section. This resulted in AA's first group at Akron, Ohio, in 1935. And it just reminds me of the Jekyll and Hyde syndrome that I went through when I'm in the food. The food numbed me, it calmed me down, it did, but when I didn't have it, Oh, wait, I can get that way. And if I'm not working these steps, you know, if I'm lagging, or especially step 10 or something, yeah, that bear will come out again. And I like it. Don't like it. One of the, like, lay low, girl. Stay good. You need to take care of your health, whatever you do, a health, young lady, because you don't need to become, as this second paragraph describes, I don't like that behavior when I look back at all that, and a hospital, all that, you know. It's just like when I'm in a spiritual sickness, there's no telling where I'll end up. But as long as I use the tools that God gave me and the program of recovery, since June 23rd of 2012, I haven't had a need to go backwards because I still remember the horror stories. But the gift is in recovery since 2012. I could see a lot of beauty, and I remember a lot of stuff. Get a good memory sometimes when the food and sugar is not numbing me. So, and I remember what it was like, and there's nothing compared to what I live in. Love about living today and the joy I have. So it is a promise to me, and it is a vision for me to continue and for others. Come on aboard, because it'll get better. Promise you, if you work these steps. And that's what they told me when I came, and I'm going to pass it on to you guys. Work the steps, work the program, keep the food down, and the promise will come true. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Dion R., for getting us started this morning. Okay, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? Who hasn't shared in the past 3 days on the third and fourth paragraph on page 156? Elaine, what's your initial, Elaine?
T.
T is in Tom?
No, G, like in George.
Oh, G is in George. Okay, thanks, Elaine.
Tamara C.
Tamara C.
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay, we'll stop with those three right now. So Elaine G, Tamara C, and Donna B. Go ahead, Elaine. Star one to unmute, Elaine.
Hi, everybody. I just got a brand new sponsor, and anyway, she told me to get rid of all my alcoholic foods. I was just thinking about it, right? So I threw it out. But anyway, about this paragraphs. I don't know how many paragraphs she read here. I got lost. But anyway, I know when I'm not abstinent and I wake up in the morning, I am so negative and everything is gloom and doom, you know, and I don't seem to make right decisions about things. My head's not clear, you know, and there's a situation with my family that, I'm not really abstinent right now because even though I didn't eat in the middle of the night, I ate some food that was tasting sweet, you know. It was in a restaurant, and I have to really be careful of that. I mean, I have to go to places that I've been to. This was a new restaurant, and so I have to say that I'm not abstinent, you know. But anyway, my sponsor tells me that until I get abstinent, we will read this, we will read in the big book here, and then we start working the steps. She wants me to get 2 days. Before I said to myself, nah, I didn't want to do that, but I am willing. I am willing now to do that because, you know, it makes me feel so bad when I'm not abstinent and I feel really lousy about myself. And people could see it. People could see that I'm grouchy, I'm incontent, I'm irritable, discontent, you know. And I don't like being that way. You know? This morning, I feel okay. I'm glad I didn't eat in the middle of the night, and I only did not eat in the middle of the night because I spoke to another OA-er, you know, I reached out, and when I was thinking about eating in the middle of the night, I texted him. That's something I never done before, and it saved me from going in the kitchen, it really did, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I guess she's up because she said to me, text me. So I did, and it was helpful. It was helpful. I'll do the same tonight if I have this urge to eat. And I also closed my bedroom door. I guess it's like a little game, but then I know not to, it's like danger once I walk outside that door. And when I get too tired, it's like dangerous because it's like my mind doesn't even think that I should go to bed. You know, I gotta get into the bed before I get to that point. But anyway, I'm very grateful to be able to be in this meeting because it's such a good meeting. And thanks.
And thank you, Elaine G. Tamara C., you're up, followed by Donna B. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater in California. I'm really glad to be on the meeting. One thing that jumped out at me in this reading was that when they called that nurse at the hospital, they explained their need. And I was like, oh, they didn't just call up and say, hey, we have this program that's going to help others and we'd like to help others. They said, we need to work with someone else. And so just a really good reminder for me that I need to keep spiritually active because life is still difficult for me. I still have difficulties. Going through the steps was beautiful. It was healing. It was an amazing spiritual awakening for me. And it doesn't mean that I no longer have difficulties. I'm still me. I still have things in life that trigger my old ideas and my distorted thinking, and my feelings come up. And so I need this spiritual action. And for me, that includes working with others. I need it to restore me to that relationship with my higher power and keep the wreckage cleared. And I, you know, steps 10 and 11, they're wonderful and restorative, but my higher power has designed that they're not enough. I need to give service. And it is like self-interest that initially drives me there to give service, to work with others. But then in the process, I experience this amazing miracle of actually getting out of myself and actually caring about the other person without expecting anything in return. Self-seeking really does slip away, and then my life really does take on a new meaning. But first, I take the action because I know I need to. And so I just really appreciate this reminder from Bill and Bob that it's normal for my life to continue to have difficulties. And today I know what spiritual action to take. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. in California. And Donna B., you're up, and I just want to remind everyone we're going to be taking some more names after Donna. We're on the third and fourth paragraph on page 156. So go ahead, please, Donna. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. I live in Denver, Colorado, and I'm calling from Pompano Beach, Florida this morning. A couple days ago, I got a phone call from a former sponsee, and she said she had really hesitated to call me because she was ashamed to admit that, quote-unquote, I was right, that in not taking on a sponsee, she was putting herself at risk of relapse. That nothing ensures our immunity from alcoholism so much as working with others. I was really grateful that she called, that whatever shame she was feeling was less than her faith and trust that I would really welcome the connection, that I would really welcome hearing from her, that I'd really welcome hearing about her experience inside and outside of the rooms. But when she spoke about my program of action, my directions, my suggestions, my, you know, all of this, I found myself really wanting to clarify that it wasn't anything about mine at all. Everything that I had suggested came from the Big Book, and it came from the experience of all the people who came before me. And as I picture Dr. Bob and Bill in this hospital room, you know, so early in the process of carrying the message, so early in the process of even developing what the 12th step even means for us, it just inspires me and comforts me and reassures me that I don't have to rely on my own thinking. I don't have to go up to people and say, well, let's try this, let's try that, let's see if this works, let's see if that works. But that there are, I'm walking in the footsteps of the people who came before me. And there are instructions, there is a recipe, there is a model. And so when I make a suggestion, it's not Donna's suggestion. It is, this is what was suggested to me by perhaps one or two or three other individuals. But those suggestions are rooted in the experience of hundreds of thousands of people that have come before myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. in Colorado. Okay, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days and you'd like to share on these two paragraphs, the third and fourth paragraph on page 156, I'm ready for some names.
Noel E.
Noel E.
Veronica
Kara
B.
L.
Kara L. Veronica B. Going in set to three this morning. Okay, so I have Noel E., Veronica B., and Kara L. So go ahead, please, Noel.
Hi, this is Noel E., recovered, grateful, survivor recovery, compulsive overeater in Louisiana. Thank you, everybody who does service on this line, and thank you for all the shares. I love the last couple ones, especially because I don't know if I would have read the line, they explain their need in that way, because yeah, that's what it is. Like, to be of service is like the, you know, it is the only tonic for this illness. And I too always want to say, you know, oh, this fellow killed me once, or I heard this once, or I, you know, I always want to, I'm leaning into the borrowed part of this program. Like, you know, everything everybody said, they heard from somebody else, and you just keep carrying the message without, you know, like, no one's looking for credit. I know I surely am not. And the sponsoring has been, like, the best experience so far in knowing that, you know, whatever I say, I'm saying it just kind of like only with the, my only intention is to carry the message the same way it's been carried to me. And that's such an incredible feeling. And I, you know, I went through the steps once before and drug my feet on sponsoring, and you know, I did not maintain any abstinence. And now that I, you know, get to have a sponsee and, you know, get to grow in my relationship with my sponsor in talking about that, it's just like every level and every layer just keeps getting cracked open with more and more ways that God is showing me, you know, I'm exactly where, I'm supposed to be, one day at a time, and that the power of, you know, the love my higher power has for me is infinite. It never stops growing and changing and filling me up and being the best thing I've ever had. So, yeah, it's really magnificent, and I'm grateful for everybody. So, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Noel E. in Louisiana. And Veronica B, you're up, followed by Kara L. Go ahead, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic in LA. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. This paragraph reminds me how important it is to work with others, and the fact that it says what really resonates with me is it says, but life was not easy for the two friends. Plenty of difficulties presented themselves. Both saw that they must keep spiritually active. So my experience in my recovery is that I've had many, many difficulty situations arise, and I've been able to stay abstinent. And how did I do that? Well, I keep myself in the middle of overs and onness, and I work with others. I stay current with the sponsor, and that keeps me spiritually fit. And with the daily inventory, and constantly just seeing what my part is, this program has taught me how to become responsible, and that I am responsible for my thoughts. And where it says here, both must stay spiritually active, and one way of doing that is to work with others. And the fact that they go and look for a man that they can help, that starts this new idea, right? Because before OA, I was selfish and self-centered. And now that I've recovered, I've done the steps, I want to help others. And by helping others, I'm not thinking about myself, because I'm selfish and I'm thinking about myself all the time, right? But if I'm helping you, then I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about you. And this starts this practice, this like habit I should be thinking of others. You know, it's what like Bill said in his story on page 15, where it says, for an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. Well, that's my experience. In me helping others, that kind of like shifts my thinking of helping others, and it takes the focus off of me and the focus on you. And that's really what this program is all about, or the way of, you know, spiritual life is all about, like, who can I help today? I have a purpose today, and that's to be a maximum service to others. So this practice of helping others, it starts to change the way I think. You know, when I'm having difficulties, it's like, ooh, who can I help today? That's me, like, today. Who can I call today? I know someone's having a hard time. Let me call a newcomer. Let me go help my family. Like, it's just, it's the practice of helping others that becomes a part of my working brain and part of my lifestyle. I hope that made a little sense. But anyways, everybody have a great day, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And Kara L., you're up. And if you're just coming on the line, a reminder, we're on page 156, the third and fourth paragraph. And I'll be taking some more names after Kara. So go ahead, please, Kara.
Good morning. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you, Kathleen, and everybody giving service on Wednesday. I heard some great things already this morning. You know, life was not easy for the two friends. Plenty of difficulties presented themselves. And I always think about, like, just because I'm recovered and just because I've worked the steps doesn't mean that life still isn't there, right? Doesn't mean that I'm always serene, that I have to stay head down in this book, in these steps every day, right? And this book teaches me and tells me, it gives me a design for living, you know, to get through those certain difficulties ahead, right? Life that's not going, and most of the time when life is not easy, it's because they're not going according to my plan. So I get to see that, step back and say, okay, this situation is not going as I planned, then what do I get to do there? Well, I got to ask my higher power for help today, and then I got to go be of service to somebody, right? And I love how, you know, who they found, you know, the nurse calls him a corker. We got a real corker. He just beat up a couple nurses. And I was like, I'm thinking, wow, if I went into some place and they said, oh yeah, this guy just beat up a couple guys, I don't know if I would be the person who goes, well, let's go talk to him, you know? And they did, which is incredible. And also tells me that how desperate and hopeless, you know, they were, and how grateful and just so happy to be where they were after working the steps or after doing their spiritual program. You know, steps weren't there just yet. And I don't know, you know, sometimes I look and it's like, you know, I get a difficult sponsee, and do I just say, God, show me how I may be of service here? Or am I worried about my own ego and my plans and this person? And, it, you know, it gives me an opportunity to step back. This gives me an opportunity to look at how I'm sponsoring and saying, am I asking my higher power how I can best serve in these situations? Am I turning to my higher power for direction in my life? You know, and when things are difficult, do I go to self-pity or do I go to service? You know, so I'm really glad to read this today because it reminds me of like, yeah, my higher power's got this. I am beloved, and all I need to do today is turn to my higher power and ask for guidance. And I will be provided for. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. in California. Okay, we're opening up the lines again for anyone who would like to share on page 156. We're on the third paragraph that begins with, life was not easy for the two friends, reading through two paragraphs, ending with, we've got them strapped down tight again.
Elaine B.
Anne Marie.
Shannon M.
Elaine.
Jody E.
Anne Marie. Who came before Jody?
Shannon M.
After Anne Marie. Shannon M. And take one more name. Okay, we'll go with that. I have Elaine B, Anne Marie, I didn't get your initial, Shannon M, and Jody E. So go ahead, please, Elaine.
Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen. And everybody on the line, wow. You know, this makes me think about these guys. Here they are. Oh, in order to keep this, we got to keep going. And it reminds me about the promises on page 89 of working with others. Life will take on new meaning, to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish and a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you don't want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is a bright spot of our lives. And that's what I found. You know, look at this guy. He was a lawyer. He had a good job. He's a good person, you know, but everything got taken away with the alcohol, and look at him now. You know, you wouldn't even know what was underneath it. My husband is very sensitive to food, and there's certain things that he eats, and I can see how it impacts his mood. I can see how it impacts his just everything. And so it's just a gift to be able to help somebody step aside and get into a food plan that eliminates foods and behaviors that are going to impact how their life is, how they show up. And then as we go through and help people understand what's disturbing them, and, you know, that it's not really what they're eating, it's what's eating them. That, you know, they're eating for a solution that is not addressing what's really eating them. And through these beautiful steps, we can learn to do that. We can learn to help others get at it. And then we can see them improve. And then we can become a friend to this person that was desperate because we were desperate, you know. And we got to stay. We got to stay on the front lines and remember that there are benefits to even these hard times where we're facing hard cases. And yeah, that's all I got. I pass with that.
Thank you, Elaine B.
in Massachusetts. And Anne Marie, you're up. If you could give me the initial of your last name, followed by Shannon M.
Sure. This is Anne Marie M. In Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And through God's grace, I am recovered from compulsive eating. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. This, you know, I've agreed with just about everyone, what everyone has said regarding the importance of doing 12-step work. And that promise on page 89, the very first sentence of the chapter 7, Working with Others, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. That has been so, so important to me, not only to get outside of myself, but just to remain studying the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a textbook that I wouldn't pick up and read on my own. I don't know if I'd ever reread it again. You know, if I've gone through the steps with someone, I doubt very much if I would have picked up this book again to read it through and through, and to learn more and more. Every time I go through it, I learn something more. I just get so much out of working with other people. And they, what they had said was, both saw that they must keep in spirit, keep spiritually active. And part of my 12-step work, working with other people, is being spiritually active. I often pray before I speak with anyone, and I ask God to put the words in my mouth when a question comes up, and I have no idea how to answer it, and I am just so surprised what comes out of my mouth, because I know that it is that God within me, that God consciousness that they talk about in the Appendix 2, that God consciousness within me that comes out and speaks when I ask, you know, for direction to help with someone else. So this is, you know, just and then just the miracle that we're going to see if, as we continue reading about this man who was, you know, once a lawyer. He had been somebody, you know, and he says, "I was somebody one time. Now I'm nothing." God, I could relate to that too. But getting back to this paragraph, they, you know, and it was already mentioned, they explained their need and inquired if she had a first-class alcoholic prospect. And I, too, you know, I've had people, I've started sponsoring people and explained to them what I do. I do a lot with my program. And, and I'm grateful that they've honestly say, you know, I don't think I can do all that you do. And that's okay. And hopefully they find someone else that can help them. But I have to pass on what helped me. And so that's all I have to say. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. Shannon M., you're up, followed by Jody E. Good morning, Shannon.
Hi, yeah, thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shannon M., compulsive overeater and bulimic in the state of Washington and in the state of Washington currently. You know, this morning I was thinking about, you know, where just the fact that they, you know, they got off the couch and they went and did something. You know, they were out there really trying to find someone to work with, to pass that message on, because their lives depended on it. And, you know, when I finished the steps, or I was recovered, for a while, I wasn't sponsoring. I was talking to people. You know, I personally, when I was coming back from relapse, had worked a very, very rigorous program. And so that's what I had to share. And not everyone wanted to work that program, and that's okay. But that was the message I had, was to get out of relapse. This is what I did. But there was, I had heard in one of the big book studies I was in on, it's on page 149 and two employers. And it says, it's towards the bottom of the page. It says, the right kind of man, the kind who recovers, will not want this sort of thing to be made a favorite. earlier in the paragraph. He will not impose, far from it. He will work like the devil and thank you to his dying day. And the big book study that I was listening to, the woman giving it said, you know, and how hard does the devil work? The devil works pretty hard. And I kept thinking like, oh, I got to work at least as hard as the devil, if not harder, because that's how hard, you know, and I was thinking my disease like the devil. And so you know, I was just thinking about what an effort they made to go find someone. And for a while I was making an effort, but I knew that, you know, sponsoring wasn't the only way to carry the message. You know, I tried to be, and I still do today, I try to be very available to newcomers, people coming out of relapse.
Shannon, we lost you. Are you still there? Okay. Somehow we lost you, Shannon. So Jody E., you want to go ahead?
Yes. Thank you, Kathleen. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. This is such a great paragraph, the first one that we read, because it really makes it so obvious that we really have a spiritual need, a need to stay spiritually active. And I didn't understand that when I first started coming to Overeaters Anonymous so many years ago. When I first started, I went to one meeting a week and wondered why nothing was happening. It took years for me to understand this thing. As has been quoted from the big book, as has been said this morning, this is a big commitment that we have to make, just as our disease was a big commitment that we made every day. How much time did I spend obsessing about food? How much time did I spend getting the foods that I wanted and figuring out how I was going to get them, how I was going to get the time to eat them alone, et cetera, et cetera? Am I willing to put that much time and energy into my recovery and into helping others? Well, it has taken me many years and a lot of relapses to realize how much time and energy I have to put into this to stay spiritually fit. It takes quite a bit. I was talking to someone yesterday and she said, it sounds like you put a lot of your life into this program. And I said, yes, I do. And I can understand how that would not necessarily be attractive. But I also told her that not only do I put time into my recovery, but I get health, I get serenity, I get good relationships, I get a joy of living in being able to help somebody who has a disease similar to mine. There's really nothing more satisfying than to bring somebody out of the depths of despair and misery. And no one is as uniquely qualified as we are to help other compulsive overeaters, anorexics, bulimics, etc. So yes, it is a big need that we have, but the rewards are boundless. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. in California. And Shannon, are you back on the line by any chance? You are pressed.
Oh, yes, I am back on. I am back on the line. I don't know where I got cut off. I didn't know that I had gotten cut off. So
you have about another minute. So go ahead, Shannon. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thanks. I don't know where I got cut off. I guess, you know, because I was really getting worked up over here.
You were talking about relapse.
Oh,
I think that was the last word before you got cut off.
All right. So, you know, I knew that, you know, coming back from my relapse that, you know, something had to be different. And for me,
difference was that I was going to have to work hard. I was going to have to try this time. And trying meant, you know, not only talking to newcomers, but also, you know, showing up in meetings, sharing like now, like becoming visible, you know, having my camera on in Zoom meetings, calling people, being available for outreach calls. There were so many other ways that I needed to show up in my program, and I needed to be of service and actively doing things, actively present and available for other people. And, you know, gratefully, I am grateful to be sponsoring today, but it took a while. And that didn't mean that, you know, I got to put my hard work on hold simply because, you know, I wasn't yet sponsoring. In fact, every single day, you know, sponsoring is one of the things I do to pass the message on to others. And it is a gift, but it's also a gift to be there to somebody who's just coming out of relapse, or to be there for somebody who does have a sponsor but needs to have 3 outreach calls with recovered people a day. Like, what a gift to be one of their people, you know, so they can go to bed at night knowing, you know, they've done their work for that day, and I was able to be a part of that. And yeah, thanks everyone for being online. Thanks for being patient with me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Shannon M. in Washington. And we have time for another share. Would anyone else like to share on these 2 paragraphs, the 3rd and 4th paragraph on page 156? Okay. Then, what we'll do.
Laura, hi, this is Teresa, recovering bulimic anorexic and compulsive overeater in Wyoming. I'd share if there's a moment.
Okay. Now we only have about 1.5 minutes, so go ahead, please, and I'll call you on 1.5 minutes. Thanks.
That's perfect. Hi, I'm Teresa. Grateful, recovering bulimic anorexic and compulsive overeater in Wyoming. And I am new to this meeting. This is my first time in this meeting, so I just wanted to claim my seat and say how much I've enjoyed listening. And I think what I really got from this was, I would say I'm new to program, having come in August, and I've had intermittent abstinence, but not full abstinence. So restored some weight, purging went down, but it's not a pure abstinence, and I know it, you know. And I think that what I'm hearing, and kind of even from the reading what I see, is there's no such thing as like recovery light, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, I know my what kills me may not kill you as a food, and vice versa, and certain, you know, everyone has a different way of working steps in different ways, but at the end of the day, there's really just kind of the one way, and you kind of can't, you know, excuse me, like half-ass it. And I think when I hear the commonality among the women and men that I've really heard speak who have really recovered and are working program, is that they're really working program, and there's no sort of, you know, just flirting with it. So I think these 2 paragraphs actually reminded me of that like, there's a real, there's a process here. There's a real commitment here, that there's a way to do it, and you can't just sort of half do it, because half doing is also letting my disease sort of have its moment. And I always think of Abraham Lincoln, like, a house divided cannot stand, you know. You can't have recovery and disease, you know, health and not health, selfishness and service. So I just want to say thank you for letting me be here, looking forward to being back, and just a great reminder that I need to commit more and surrender more to working the steps of the program. And her late last night, actually, it's funny, I fell asleep into a meeting that was in Australia about service.
You know what, I am going to have to call time.
Getting out of stuff.
Sorry.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Teresa. What's the initial of your last name, Teresa, the first initial?
P as in Peter.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you, Teresa P. in Wyoming. And on that share, we are going to close the meeting. And thank you, everyone who shared on this meeting and for doing service by sharing, and everyone who helped make this meeting run so smoothly. Special thanks to Team Wednesday this month. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Kara L., if you'd please read a vision for you.
Sure. Thank you, Kathleen. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.